Since the late 1970s, the loss of manufacturing jobs in the United States has pulled down inflation-adjusted wages for non-supervisory employees. At the same time, huge income and assets gains in the top 1-2%, where investors, financial services professionals, and wealth holders cluster, have enabled these percentiles to pull up overall national growth and income figures. The effect of this is to disguise the shrinkage elsewhere. By credible calculations, the top 1% of Americans in 2000 had as much disposable after-tax income as the bottom 100 million, or 35% of the population. Thus, talk about the average American income is innately misleading. Many economists explain these circumstances in impersonal terms, invoking technology, productivity, and education. These, however, miss another vital dynamic. The realignment of national interest group influence and the escalating political clout of the financial services industry. By the 1990s, policy favoritism had become epidemic. In The Indebted Society, economists James Medoff and Andrew Harless advanced a central argument claiming that as debt burgeoned in the United States in the 1980s, it also realigned political power. It is inevitable that lenders become more important in a society where debt becomes more important. Therefore, it seems likely that lenders also become more powerful. When lenders become more powerful, they have more influence over policy, and the policies chosen naturally reflect that influence. Citing the importance of banks, investment firms, mutual funds, and other elements of the financial services sector, Medoff and Harless noted the rise in the share of national income represented by net interest from 1% in 1950 to 5% in the early 1970s and 10% in the 1980s. By the early 2000s, however, debt colored so many transactions that its proceeds entailed a much wider range of rewards than straightforward interest. The term borrower industrial complex, cited by the New York Times and coined in a paper by economists Noriel Roubini and Brad Setzer, caught the magnitude of the U.S. sector, led by credit card operators that had grown up around borrowers and their needs. Use of the term debt and credit industrial complex would be more descriptive. Candor about the escalating political influence of lenders, investors, and the financial services industry has sometimes been colorful. In 1993, James Carville, an advisor to President Clinton, remarked that if he could be reincarnated, he'd want to come back as the bond market because it was so powerful. Referring to his 1993 economic proposals, Clinton himself said, "You mean to tell me that the success of the program in my re-election depends on the Federal Reserve and a bunch of effing bond traders?" In 1998, the financial services industry successfully mobilized to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act, the New Deal statute mandating the separation of commercial banking, investment banking, and insurance. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, the FIRE sector laid out more than $200 million for lobbying in 1998 and contributed more than $150 million in the 1997 to 1998 election cycle. Indignation from the left and elsewhere tended to be drowned in cheers for the soaring stock market, but its bubble popping re-legitimated criticism. In 2000, the exposés in the Buying of the Presidency and the Buying of Congress series, published by Charles Lewis and the Washington-based Center for Public Integrity, invariably dwelt on finance, its clout, and political access. Between 1990 and 2002, the FIRE sector repeatedly topped the list of contributors to national elections, giving more than $1.3 billion. In fact, the 2000 to 2001 fall of high tech only clarified the sectoral triumph of finance. Some of the sector's political enthusiasm was specific to the Bush family. In mid-2004, the Center for Public Integrity tabulated the leading lifetime patrons of George W. Bush. The Big Four were Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and MBNA, the credit card giant. The family's background also blended these same origins and commitment. No presidential clan has been so involved in banking, investments, and money management over so much time. As the younger Bush's second term began, the pervasiveness of debt and credit in the U.S. economy drew increasing attention.